Good morning, everyone. We're celebrating our anniversary of our country this weekend, and also, more importantly, we're hearing the work of the Spirit, hearing about the work of the Spirit in Melody's life. I would like to open in prayer, and then we're going to let Melody go and tell us the story, and I'll be here for a little bit of questions here and there, but for the most part, we're just going to let Melody be led by the Spirit to tell of his work in her life. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are so good. You draw us by your loving kindness, and you move and shape us in the ways that we need to be moved and shaped. And God, I just thank you for your powerful work in Melody's life. And Lord, I just pray that her testimony will bless many who don't know your sweetness and your persistence. And we just thank you so much for this opportunity to tell the story of your love. Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. So I would like to start today with a few scriptures, and could you pull up the first slide? I'm also going to share a little bit of my art today. Yes. Okay, so this is something that I drew in, I think I was in college. It started out as a doodle, and it went from there. And after I finished it, it reminded me of these scripture verses. And I couldn't fit all of them on there, we have dot, dot, dots. But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, yes, okay. 29, did I get that? Oh, yes. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the cat is kind of represented of anyone who is resting in the Lord and taking on his yoke and just that just sweet, peaceful rest. And then the second scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6. And that, I have it here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen. And then Philippians 4:6. And these are all some of my life verses, really. Philippians 4, I'm going to start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Psalm 16:11, this is one of my mom's favorite verses and also mine. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I guess the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and resting in Christ are the themes that I want to share from You know, and that's really the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And as I was thinking about sharing part two of my testimony, I wanted to share more about, because I think I ended with how I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I had this phrase. Let me see if I can pull it up in my notes. I had this phrase at the end of what I shared, that after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've had dreams, pictures, prophecies, and praying in the Spirit for intercessory prayer with the gift of tongues. And so I want to share a few of those experiences with you today, because I think that's what's most exciting about a relationship with Christ. And it can just get deeper and deeper, and there's no stopping. Like, I think I grew up thinking that, you know, Christianity was a one and done thing. You know, you're saved, you get to go to heaven. And I think a lot of churches kind of preach that, is like, once you get saved, it's a ticket to heaven. And that is not at all what the gospel is. It is so, so much more. And so I wanted to start with deliverance. So after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was encouraged to read books on deliverance. There hadn't been much teaching on that in my previous church. And one of the books was The Total Forgiveness Experience. And I remember reading that. So I read it twice. It's a really good book. It's really good to read multiple times, and I'm glad I did. The first time I read it, the only part that stood out to me was the part about forgiving yourself. And I was just like, well, I've forgiven everybody. I don't have anything to forgive. And the second time I read it, I had more conviction in the areas of forgiveness. And looking back, I asked, like, wondered, like, what it was. And the Lord revealed to me that I had been blaming myself for the hurts that other people had caused me, and taking that on instead of actually forgiving them. You know, excusing it, being like, oh, they didn't do anything wrong. If I had done something different, then they wouldn't have done that thing that hurt me. And so that was a huge revelation that changed how I thought about forgiveness, but also changed, like, I think that was the turning point in receiving a lot of healing in my life, because before that, I didn't think I needed healing for anything. I didn't think I needed deliverance for anything. And so that was a huge thing for me. And another thing that happened around the same time when I was reading the books on deliverance was I had been on medication, mood stabilizer, since I was a teenager. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to get off of that, and I did. And after I stopped my medications, it was just mainly one, I noticed a difference and I felt like I was more sensitive to the Spirit. I could more easily feel what other people were feeling if they shared like a sad story, or just more easily empathetic with others. So after that, I also wanted to talk about sozos. So for those who don't know, a sozo is a special prayer time, usually what you just meet with two people that are ministering to you and praying for you. And I did my first sozo in 2017 or 2018. I started coming to GCF in 2017, so it was pretty early on.
If it was with Amber the Weisses?
The first time it was with Emily and Amber.
Emily and Amber. Then it very well could have been 2017. Not that it matters.
Not that it matters, really. I just like a timeline, kind of. And the thing that I remember, and I might be mixing it up with the one that I had with you and Amber, but the thing that I remember that was most significant from that sozo was they asked me to, like, ask God to show himself to me. And it was God the Father. And I didn't realize this before, but, like, most people, including myself, can identify with, like, God as Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit better than with God the Father, because God the Father, it relates to how your, like, biological father, your relationship with him affects how you see God the Father. And that was a big thing for me to learn. And when I was having, when I was doing the prayer time, the sozo, and I asked the Lord, God the Father, to show himself to me, the first picture I saw was just somebody kind of distant. I couldn't see his face or I couldn't hear from him. And how that related to my earthly father was that he was emotionally unavailable for most of my life. There was a gap, at least not all my life, but at least at my teenager years, there was some kind of blocking. And I felt like he wasn't able to minister to me at an emotional level. And so I forgave my father. I didn't really feel like mad at him or anything, but, you know, I went through the prayer of forgiveness for my father. And then after that, I asked Father God again to show himself to me. And this time, I could see his face clearly, and I was, like, sitting in his lap. So it was a big difference for me.
Praise God that the shift happened that quickly.
Yeah, and that was all in the same sozo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've had two more sozos since then, and they were really good. I especially liked the one with Amber and Teresa. I can't remember all, but it was very special for me. And then the third sozo I had last year, and I did it at my parents' church because they had a ministry there for that. And I might get into that later, but or you can ask me about it separately. I did want I next wanted to share about a testimony of healing that happened in fall of 2024. And I think I shared this with a couple people, but really not very many people. And I felt like God wanted me to share it like for the whole church, and I hadn't had a chance to yet. So I'd like to do that now. So I was babysitting, and I had taken the kids on an outing, and the three-year-old fell asleep in the back seat. And I carried him inside and laid him down on the bed. But as I was doing that, I sat down, and then I like twisted my body, and it pulled a muscle in my knee, because I sat down, and then I turned and put down this weight of a three-year-old, and it hurt really bad. But I was just like, you know, it's like a sprained ankle or something like that. I can still walk. It might be painful, but after 3 weeks, it still wasn't better. And after 6 weeks, it wasn't better. And I had gone to the doctor, or I got into urgent care. They took an x-ray. There was nothing broken. The doctor kind of just said, you know, it'll take 6 to 8 weeks to heal. Like, just, and you can put a brace on it or whatever.
Was it swollen?
It wasn't swollen, no. But I was afraid that it was like a ligament that was torn or something like that. I can't see inside my body, so, and I'm not a doctor, so it was just kind of anxiety inducing. And then I think it was hard for Sydney to see me like limping around and in pain too, so I think he got worried, and then I was more worried about it when he was worried. So I can't remember how long it had been, but it had been past the 6 to 8 weeks that the doctor said to. But I had been wearing a brace, and it had gotten stiff. Oh, after like, I think it was like after 2 weeks, I thought it was completely better, and I like sat on the couch and I pulled my leg up to sit cross-legged, and I had like excruciating sharp pain. And so that it was after that that I went to the doctor. I'm backtracking. After 6 to 8 weeks, somebody encouraged me to maybe look into physical therapy. And Noelle gave me the name of a physical therapist who she really liked that helped her with her ankle after she had sprained her ankle and it wasn't getting better. And I took that recommendation, and they were able to get me in, and I liked them very much. I did get a referral from my doctor for physical therapy, but I think I switched to or something. I can't remember. Anyway, I had a really good experience with physical therapy. And but the first thing that they do is they kind of measure your movement. It was definitely, like I didn't have my full range of movement in my leg. And sorry, this is a little bit all over the place because I didn't practice telling about this, but before my first physical therapy appointment, after it had already been scheduled, it was like the Sunday before that, I was at church, and I think it was the picnic, and Mrs. O'Guyon was here, and she had a friend with her. Hi, John Luke. And they asked if they could pray for me, a prayer of healing. And so they prayed for me, and then they asked me, like, afterwards, can you, like, move it? Can you tell us, like, tell us if it's, you know, better or whatever? And at the time, I felt like the Lord was saying, I still want you to go to your physical therapy appointment, but then you'll... It was kind of like a validation. I needed a validation that I was actually injured before I could believe in the Lord's healing.
That's real.
I think that's the way I would describe it. Like, so that's what it ended up being, was it was a validation of, hey, I'm not crazy. I really am injured. And then between, I think I went once a week, and I think a total of 3 times. And between each time, there was like big difference. They gave me some exercises to do at home, and I did those, but not perfectly, because, I mean, I'm human, and exercises are boring and not fun to do, so I didn't do them that much. But there was such a big difference between my knee movement and flexibility between the first and the last appointment, that the assistant who was helping me, she was like, people don't normally, I don't know if you realize this, but people don't normally get better this fast. And the way she was expressing it, she believed that it was a miracle. And so that was evidence to me that God had indeed healed my knee. There was nothing wrong with it. And it just, I think it just boosted my faith in the Lord. So that was my testimony of healing. Praise God. And then I wanted to spend a little time on my testimony from last summer, volunteering with Dear Dinah. So, as you guys, yeah?
I was gonna say, who, just for the recording, okay. Who is Dear Dinah?
Okay, so Dear Dinah is a ministry that for women who have been trafficked and are survivors, and also women who are, you know, still in the system and ministering to them. And there's a lot of things that Dear Dinah does, but ministering to the women who have been trafficked is the main thing. So they came to our church and did presentations. That's how I learned about them. But then I signed up to be a volunteer and went to the volunteer training. And I remember going to, when I went to both the training and then going to the Victory House, which is like their ministry house, to get like the tour and like, there was so many ways that I could volunteer that it was kind of overwhelming at first. And I really wasn't sure what to do, so I didn't sign up then. But they had a sign-up sheet that I was able to look at once I got home. And there was a opening for, like, childcare. And I was like, oh, well, that looks like it's... That looks easy. That's along my alley. So I did. But it was really cool because God was like, you're not going to do that yet. Because when I showed up, It was for this Bible study called Beauty for Ashes, and I had no idea what it was. But when I showed up, the child wasn't there, so I didn't have to do child care. And it was a beautiful time of sharing and a time of healing. And I want to share a couple of the pictures that I drew from this time. You can pull up the next picture that I have on the slide. Okay. It's not the one I thought it was going to be. But I did. Yeah, that one. Okay, that's the first one. This was from the first session. So we were given a prompt. God, show me how I view you in this season. And we had a box of crayons, everybody did. And we went to our little places, me and the other ladies, we just took some time alone. And this is what the Lord gave me. I just started coloring. And so the first top layer, I started coloring with blue. And I was thinking that reminded me of strength, hope, and comfort. That's what God is for me. And then I next did purple. I'm like, this is kind of a hazy color. I'm going to use this to, that's the part I'm not sure about. Like, yes, God's promises and his blessings are sure, but in our future is sure in him. But to me, I can't see it. That's unsure. And I was especially thinking about future in respect to getting pregnant. So the next color is pink, and that reminds me of life and joy and song, and that's who God is to me. But especially in the middle, he is the healer. And I was thinking of the scripture verse that says, the sun rises with healing in his wings. And then, of course, green, I'm thinking of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my teacher, my leader. He is the truth. He is my friend. And with friend, I think of being both a listener and a speaker. I think with prayer and in my relationship with God, it has been so important for me to know that, like, he's listening, but he also wants to speak to us. And so it's important for us to listen to him. And, you know, it's not, God's not like this distant person that just listens to our answering machine messages, you know, when he has time. No, he's actively listening to us, and he wants to speak, and often he is speaking, but we just can't hear him speak until we listen and stop and listen. So I'm very thankful for that. And then at the bottom, he is the living water, and water gives life. And I love the symbolism in God's word of just all through scripture of him being the water of life. Then the next slide. Nope, the last one. Yes, that one. Okay, so this was the second session of the Bible study with the Dear Dinah ladies. And I wrote in my notes, a view of God shifting from condemning to loving. And this was very important for me. So the top part of the picture is kind of like a foot stomping, finger pointing God. He doesn't even have a face or a head because, you know, it's the finger pointing, the foot stomping, the condemnation that we feel and in not his face when we have that wrong view of God. And that, and then the, to the right is how I feel when I think that God is condemning. And that's like this big cloud of anxiety, fear, worry, anger, frustration. And my head is down and I'm just like, you know, like don't hurt me. So that's the wrong view of God. That's what the Satan, the accuser wants to think that God is to us. And so, but scripture says that a bruised reed he will not break. So that's the opposite of the finger pointing, foot stomping God, is just him holding us in his hands. And he's so gentle with us that even when we're broken and about to tear apart, he will not. He will not lift a finger against us. And when I shared that with the ladies at Dear Dinah, I remember one of the ladies was like, "Really? He's that gentle with us?" So it was very special. So that's the main things that I wanted to share from that one. But again, there's a cat. And I that was soon after I got Henry. After we got Henry, our cat. And it was that summer that we had him as a kitten. He would often curl up in my lap, and this was important for learning rest and contentment, because often I felt like I had to be doing something, actively doing something, in order to feel, in order to feel
maybe some sense of worth or goodness.
Yeah, some sense of worth. That I needed to keep myself busy. And when the cat was asleep in my lap, then I was like, well, I am doing something. I am letting this cat sleep, and I don't want to disturb him. So it kind of was a something that, you know, caused me to rest more, or to give myself that allowance. Yeah. So, and then connection, friendship and fellowship, those are ways in which, I mean, through friendship and fellowship with other Christians, I feel connection to God. So that was the reason why I had those on there. I didn't share this picture because it's kind of hard to see, but also through Dear Dinah, the Beauty for Ashes session, there was questions on or prompts for like my worth in God, and then like healing, like what does God want to heal. And for that one, you can take this slide down and just wait for the next one. For that one, I recognized that, well, I wrote deep forgiveness and recognizing grief of infertility. I think I had originally wrote like healing from grief, but in recent months, I realized that grief is not something you necessarily get healing from, at least not, I mean, for infertility, it's more of a, not until it's fulfilled, as far as me getting pregnant, there won't really be a healing for that. But I think it was very important for me to recognize that it is grief nonetheless. And I've realized that even more so recently, because I think in order to like not feel that I was being being selfish, because and not like hoping in the Lord, I used other things to kind of replace that and be like, well, God wants me to wait, so I'm going to just pour my life into other people's children, you know? And for a while, that kind of worked. But there have been times that I've just broken down and sobbed and not realized why, because I wasn't recognizing as grief. And so so I think that was important for me. I think I'll come back to that. Because I'm talking about Dear Dinah right now. So but God did bring me healing through that. And I think it's so awesome how God works, because here I am, like, volunteering for a ministry, and God is ministering to me through them. And I think that's the way God works most of the time, which is so awesome. You know, in serving others, God ministers to us. And the last thing that I wanted to mention from that time was that I had mentioned that I kind of signed up to do childcare, but I didn't do it then, but I ended up doing it later a couple of times. And then I ended up leading this Bible study for a time. And then that kind of stopped, so that was last fall. And then I wasn't able to reschedule that for January, but the child that I did, you know, do childcare for a couple times, he ended up coming to Dominion, or to the school that I worked at, and I was able to minister to him because he was in the class that I was helping with. So that was just like a big God thing of like, I wasn't able to keep going to minister at Dear Dinah during that season, but God brought it to me. And so it was more of confirmation mm-hmm. that I was where God wanted me to be.
It's beautiful things happen so much when we find ourselves right where the Lord wants to place us. It's like, not only are we the avenue to bless others, but like he works in our lives. Just mm-hmm. It's like, you got to be right here. I got stuff going on. Be there. And that's beautiful that you got to build that relationship with that child.
Thank you. All right. The last picture is... this was just a couple weeks ago. I went to, again, Dear Dinah, to their art therapy. And I've just done that a couple times this past semester. But the prompt was to do a picture of you, like, resting. And, like, how do you, you know, the... story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. And so I painted this picture, and it's actually a picture of a vision that God gave to me. So I'm going to back up a little bit. About 2 months ago, God gave me a dream, and the dream I had a positive pregnancy test, which to me is a big, big deal, 'cause that has never happened to me before. And I was really excited, and I woke up, and I went to the living room, and I started journaling about it. And I felt like God continued to speak to me as I was journaling. And as many of you may or may not know, I am I love birds, and since I was a teenager, I was an avid bird watcher, and I love to identify birds. And many times, God has shown me his love through a rare sighting of a bird. So I was journaling in the living room, and this was like, well, it's still dark. I don't know what time it was, but I looked out the window, and I could see the tree across the street. It didn't have leaves on it yet, and there was a large bird sitting in the tree. And so I'm like, is that an owl or an eagle? Because it's just a silhouette, so it was hard to see. And as I was watching and, you know, trying to decide which it was, another large bird came and sat next to it. And in that instant, I realized, okay, this is a bald eagle pair. And bald eagles, they mate for life. They bond, and they'll sit next to each other, especially during the nesting season. And it was during the nesting season. And I happened to know through a blog that there are two nesting pairs in Dayton. And when they are nesting, they don't allow any other adult eagles in their territory. So they're the only ones. And we happen to live closer to the Eastwood Eagle nest. So I believe it was that pair. And from the blog, I know their names are Jim and Hope. And the females are slightly larger than the males. So the bird that was sitting there first was the female, and her name is Hope. So God brought me Hope before the dawn. And I was able to watch her fly off right before it became completely light. And so that, in addition to the dream, gave me hope, especially when I found out about 2 weeks later at my OB appointment that I had a polyp inside my uterus, and I needed surgery to get it removed. And I had that surgery on June 4th, and they said everything went well, and it's a much better likelihood that I will get pregnant. That has not happened yet, but I feel like I really wanted to share this because it feels like the stakes are so much higher, and I'm anxious to see what God had. I know he has plans for me, and I know that it's going to be good, but when and how that'll happen, and what more trials that he it's going to take me through, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it that much harder. Mm-hmm. So I'm sharing this because I want to give glory to God, but also because I need your prayers. Mm-hmm. And I love babies and I love children. And it is very encouraging what God has been doing in our midst. And he's given me hope, but like everything is like that much harder, I think, to just, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But that is my prayer. And yeah. And so, okay, so coming back to the painting, this was from Mother's Day. Mother's Day is one of those things that's been very hard for me. And so for the last 2 years, I have gone to my parents' church because I was like, well, if I can be with my mom, then that will take the pressure off me, the attention off of me. And it was very helpful. But this past Mother's Day was especially hard. And even though I was going to my mom's church, I was broken and I was just upset the whole time. And that was really hard to be like going to church and like not be. I like to, as much as possible, like put on a happy face, you know? Like I'm not trying to tell a lie or anything, but there's some days when I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those days. And I didn't really know the songs that we were singing in worship, but that didn't really matter. But I also didn't have the strength to sing. And usually that would like really bother me, but this day, I felt like the Lord was saying, you can just sit there and just listen. And I did that. I just sat there and I closed my eyes and God gave me a vision. And the vision was what the picture was about. Well, that was the second part. The first part was him leading me out of the woods and into this beautiful, bright pasture. Mm-hmm. And then the second part was I was in his arms. I was like a little girl, mm-hmm. and I was in his arms, and I was doing one of those hugs where you wrap your legs around. So I think going back to my Sozo picture of like God the Father, that was the another, you know, like add on to that. So it made it even more special. And then the third part was me laying in this pasture, like green pastures full of daisies, and just completely relaxed. And I remember like looking in the, you know, if you're like laying in the grass, you can kind of look inside the grass. There were no bugs or diseases or anything dark or, you know, it was like the new earth where everything's perfect, you know? And then God just ministered to me in a special way. And so that's what the last painting was about.
Melanie, this isn't beautiful. Like the paintings, your summarizing how the Lord has spoken to you and met you in good times and bad. And I just really am thankful that you have shared. And is there any way that you would like to summarize, or would you like to just pray us out?
I'll just pray. I think that was what I wanted to share, but I did want the painting pulled up one more time.
The one with you laying in the grass?
Yeah, the one of me. Yeah, there. Yes, okay. That's precious. Yeah, and I'm looking up at the blue sky, but it's hard to put that both in there, so that's why it's not realistic in that sense. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you love us so dearly and you want to have a close relationship with us. And I pray that everyone watching this and who will watch this in the future will just long for that bosom relationship with you, and will draw closer to you through my testimony. And I pray that you would bless everyone who's listening now and who will listen to it, and just encourage their hearts and strengthen them. And thank you that no matter what happens in our lives, we can always come back to you, and that you're always there, and you do not change, and you're patient and you're gentle with us when we do make mistakes and when we do have misunderstandings of who you are and what you do. And so I just thank you and praise you, and in Jesus' name, amen.